following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Hello, everyone. This is Jim Ozarski along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and PackersNews.com. Here we are, post-game Green 19 podcast. The Green Bay Packers throttled the Detroit Lions 42-21 on Sunday in an empty Lambeau Field and a relatively empty Green Bay, Wisconsin. Before we get into that, be sure to go over to PackersNews.com. We had some really great photos and people on the streets to just kind of really show you what it was like to have a really empty Green Bay. It was definitely strange and weird, although I appreciated no traffic coming in, Tom.
Yeah, that was really nice.
I won't lie. That was good. But let's just get right into this. I mean, I'm going to preface this by starting with a couple historic numbers. We'll debate here or talk about what two games mean, but this is undeniable. This is the first time or the second time in Packers history, 102 years, what they've been playing, back-to-back 40-plus games to start a season since 1919, Tom. That was when they were beating Northerners and athletic club members.
Guys off the street.
Yeah, that is something. And then Aaron Jones, his total yardage effort, the most today by a Packers player since 1956. So I'm going to start there. I mean, look, two games are two games. We understand what that means. However, when you've played a century's worth of football with so many Hall of Famers, if you can actually set records or break records offensively, I thought that was notable. So I'm going to start there with you.
Yeah, I mean, what Aaron Jones did was phenomenal. He was what Devontae Adams was last week. He took over the game. That's what really elite players do. They take over the game, and the Packers now have two of them, and three if you want to count Rodgers. So the Packers haven't had a running threat like that since Amon Green, and I think Aaron Jones is more dangerous because of what he can do in the passing game now. He's just a really good all-around back, and they need to pay him quickly. I'm usually not for investing in running backs, but he's proven he's worth it.
That's interesting. Yeah, philosophically, I'm not a big – pay the running back guy either. R.P. Doherty kind of broke down some of the actual contract numbers for Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, and it may seem more reasonable what those guys mean. But that aside, Tom, I mean, I guess what's interesting to note, too, for people who may have already forgotten this, I mean, Devontae Adams got rolled up on right at the end of the first quarter. So came up limping. He didn't have a target in that first quarter, which is maybe why they were losing 14-3. Who knows? Catches a pass. Second half kind of grabs. I saw some reports the right hamstring. I did not see that, Tom, but it was enough. And at that point, they were leading by enough that he was done. So, I mean, three catches, 36 yards, but Aaron Jones, your leading receiver, 168 yards on the ground, the 75-yard touchdown. You mentioned Amon Green, Tom. That was the longest at home since Amon Green's 90-yarder against Dallas. I mean, the high point kind of was a go ball, wheel route. I don't know how it started for Jones over a corner. I mean, that's kind of next level, right, Tom? I mean, how many running backs are you – I mean, Kamara does that. I mean, that's rarefied air that the QB is going to – go that route.
Yeah, well, especially for a guy who's that good of a runner. There's other guys who can catch, but they're not really as good with, you know, running from the ball, running from the line of scrimmage. One thing I will say about Devontae Adams is that he's the reason that part of the reason why Aaron Jones had the game he had, because the Lions did everything in their ability to shut him down. And that created something for, helped Aaron Jones. So that was really important. Even though he only had three catches, it's sort of like Aaron Jones last week. He didn't have a big game, but part of why Davante Adams was getting open was because the Vikings were worried about him. So, you know, it all kind of ties together.
And you wrote about this today, Tom, and mentioning that fact, how Matt LaFleur, you know, essentially adjusted and had these two different game plans offensively. You know, in Minnesota, Aaron Rodgers went deep. You know, he was fairly accurate on some deep balls. The Lions kind of took that away. There were a few. I mean, there's always going to be shot plays, but this was more of a catch and run, crossing patterns. Guys were open, and as you said, it was in an effort to kind of, you know, cover up Davante Adams. My question, Tom, is do you think in years past would Rodgers have forced the issue with Adams to a degree to try to get him going? Was this maybe a little bit of a change because Jones and even some of the catch and run crossing stuff with Lazard and Valdes-Scantling was enough?
Yeah, I do think it's different, especially from last year. I think that Rodgers seems much more invested into what LaFleur wants done. And, you know, part of it, I want to know more about this, but LaFleur made reference to it today, which is that Rodgers got them in and out of a lot of good situations. But I think he did that also not just audibling out of runs. I think he stuck with the run because there were a couple plays. I'm thinking specifically right before the half, there was a Jamal Williams run. It's like a 13-yard run or 11-yard run, 13. And they were in four wides. And next thing you know, it's like sort of a draw play. And I wonder if they were looking to pass on that and he just saw how Detroit was lined up. So he definitely has more confidence in the run game. And I think, again, I wrote this for Sunday. I think losing Jimmy Graham has helped him a lot. I think he felt this responsibility to throw to Jimmy Graham. And now, you know, he spreads it around to whoever is ready to catch it or not catch it, like Jay Sternberger.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because Jay Sternberger was the Marquez Valdes-Scantling this week, Tom. He was wide open on a couple of those. His second drop, he might have turned it up and competed for a touchdown. But aside from Sternberger, I'm looking at the seven different receivers or pass catchers, we should say. I guess he shouldn't count himself for catching his own ball first time since 2012. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it was last week. But the difference again being Valdes-Scantling 3 for 64, a 21.3 average. Again, that deep threat. Lazard 3 for 45, along a 25. Again, it a lot of catch and run though, just done differently than week one. And you know, you mentioned the quarterback, Tom. I mean, his numbers are ridiculous. You know, passing at a very high efficient rate. He's referenced going back and seeing things. He referenced some accuracy. Now, people who listen to the Green 19, you and I agreed his camp wasn't the best. He didn't look like this in camp, at least. We didn't see the sharpness. What do you think, now that we've seen it on Sundays, Tom, what is it? Is it just because it's so fast, because there's these quick swing passes or outs or these crossing patterns where, I mean, he's only got to fit the ball in a handful of times a game, it seems like.
Yeah. I mean, think about the times he's thrown. How many times have there been guys who haven't been open? You know, that his throws where they aren't open.
Only a couple. It's like when he wants to, almost.
Yeah.
Choice.
Right. Usually it's when he takes his deep shots.
Yeah.
He's throwing it up there for someone to catch, to go get. He's not, I don't see him forcing it up anywhere. And, you know, he's sort of like that anyways. He likes to throw to a guy who's wide open. And somehow LaFleur has gotten a lot of guys open. And that's been ideal for him. So that's not going to last forever. Eventually, they're going to play a good defense. Right now, those two defenses are terrible in the secondary. And their pass rushes weren't very good. They'll have a much sterner test against New Orleans next week. But, you know, they did what they needed to do against these two teams. They exploited their weaknesses, and that's what you do. And that's a good sign.
Right. Well, in fairness, I mean, we did knock the quarterback the last couple of years, Tom, for not really throwing open guys sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, it goes maybe back to your point of a little more investment into the offense, or maybe it's just, you know, it's, man, you hate this topic, the whole like Aaron Rodgers must trust his receivers deal.
Yeah.
But maybe the quarterback trusts the offense a little more and the play caller as,
right.
as well as, yeah.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Maybe that trust goes two ways, you know?
For sure. And so, yeah, I mean, 40 plus the last two games. I do want to bring this up before we transition to the defense. Generally speaking, because they have put up 85 in the division, they're 2-0. The Bears 2-0 has happened a little differently. But last year, Tom, they scored 30 points just four times. The Raiders game was their one 40-point outburst. I don't know. They had a couple double-digit point wins. I mean, they didn't blow anybody out. And honestly, Tom, if the defense would have done what they're supposed to do, I mean, they should have blown Minnesota out. I wonder if this is like the next step, right? Like if you're a really good team, you don't just squeak it out like they did a year ago. You just really just pound the teams that are inferior.
Right, right. You know, I forgot to mention this, but so they've scored over 100 points and they've got – I'm sorry, not over 100 points. They've gained over 1,000 yards. And they've scored 9 offensive touchdowns. And I looked from last year, and they didn't reach that until the fourth game of the season. So they're so far ahead of where they were last year. And as you were referencing, you know, the defense bailed them out all the time last year. And now it looks like the defense is kind of slow out of the blocks. And the offense is kind of holding up its end. They got to get that defense together. It's still not good enough. But they showed a few signs of life today. And, you know, getting a pick six is always a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. Look, it was 14-3 at the end of the first quarter. The Lions marched up and down the field twice. They ran for 80 yards in the first half, 5 yards a pop. Matthew Stafford's stat line was nearly identical to Aaron Rodgers. And they barely went into the half with a lead. I mean, almost 2 weeks in a row now, Tom, the Lions move, 40 yards in 11 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what the feeling would have been going in 17-17 having – done that. So you're right. I mean, they turned it around, unlike last week, where Detroit just could not get off the mat. And maybe it was a pick six. Maybe. And then the fact that, unlike week one, Rashawn Gary had a sack and a half. Preston Smith had a half a sack. Vernon Scott had a sack. They actually got to the quarterback with that lead, which Mike Smith will yell at us and tell us that's not everything, but it seemed to really help.
Well, they couldn't do it last week when they had a big lead.
Right.
And so, you know, this time they did. Now, Detroit was missing two of its starting offensive linemen, so got to keep it somewhat some perspective there. But Rashawn Gary is, the fact that he's picked up where he left off in training camp is a good sign. I just, some of the stuff that's going on in the secondary and is just not quite right. I mean, Jair Alexander had an outstanding game. There was, I don't know who was at fault on Danny Amendola's touchdown. I tend to think it was probably the safety's fault. But there's just some aspects where they're not really sharp yet. And that needs to, especially when they come out, you know, they're just, teams are just ramming it down their throat to start. And then it takes them a while to adjust. They're lucky that the offense is so hot.
Yeah, it is the complete 180 from a year ago where what was the Rodgers quote? We have a defense, right? Where they were able to hold other teams down. Look, no Kenny Clark, Montrevious Adams, I mean, didn't look great.
Terrible. From what I could tell, he did not look good. I didn't get to focus on every play he was in there. Right. But the ones I did, he didn't look very good.
No, when you see Adrian Peterson break contain on the outside and you see 90 flying backwards and I think Preston Smith crashed down a little too far. I mean, look, the Lions, they had an effort, 16 rushes for 80 yards in the first half. I mean, they had an emphasis and it worked. You know, again, it was just, I guess the difference is, as you said, Tom, the offense came out, and when you stack a 75-yard touchdown run to open the half, followed immediately by a pick six, which, by the way, was set up by another unnecessary roughness penalty on the Lions when James Agnew fair catched and then hit somebody. I mean, how many – they gifted the Packers 4 first downs.
Yeah, their mental errors were terrible.
And really in the first half, Tom, I mean, the Packers got into the game – the Lions moved to midfield, and then their offensive lineman had an unnecessary roughness penalty that set them back to like a 3rd and 20, which helped the Packers make their first stop. So, I mean, your point of remembering the opponent matters. Like the Lions are bad, and winning, I mean, 21 points is a big margin in the NFL, but, it, you know, the Lions didn't help themselves, we'll put it that way.
Yeah. No, especially at the end of the half when they had the unnecessary roughness penalty and then there was a hold, right?
Yeah, 30 yards of penalties on the safety, Will Harris.
Yeah, just in, you know, they're their worst enemy.
That's what happens with bad teams.
Well, yeah, right, you're right. You know, some of the holding, it's because they're getting beat. If you're holding, you're getting beat. So, you know, that's a good sign for the Packers. Either that or, you know, Detroit's just so bad. They were missing their starting corners. So that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Jeff Okuda, their number 3 pick in the draft, was playing his first game and he's never faced anyone like Davante Adams before. That was not easy.
No, it's and look, the Vikings lost at Indianapolis, so the Packers' 2 opponents are now 0-4. So there's, as is always the case in the NFL, you can only play who you can play and when you play them. But it's, you know, with the Saints and Tampa, you know, coming up on the road, wherever that's worth. With fans or limited fans, who knows, Tom? Maybe Brett Favre will be in Tampa wearing a Tampa Bay shirt when the Packers head down there. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, that'd be great. I don't know.
Generally speaking, I mean, Matt LaFleur 8-0 since taking over as the head coach in this division. Look, the Lions had won 4 straight and led for 120 minutes last year. Have they kind of made the turn again? Because, you know, 13-3, you always kind of want to see them back it up. I mean, is this, you know, starting 2-0, we still don't know what will happen the next 3.5 months here, Tom, with
coronavirus.
But I mean, this is what you need to do, right? As they say, the easiest road to the playoffs is the division, and they've already got two wins.
Yeah, it is. You got to win division games, and that's why Mike McCarthy was so successful. He always won in the division. You got to set that tone. The one thing I will say about this season, why it's hard to get really excited, is we saw today how many guys went down, how many major injuries were there today. That, I mean, the Packers have been lucky. I assume that Davante Adams' injury is not that serious. And I think we know now that Kenny Clark's is not horribly serious. But Nick Bosa, tears an ACL. Saquon Barkley tears an ACL. I mean, guys are going out right and left. And that was the big fear with not so much with, only 3 weeks of camp, was would guys be getting hurt. And it was a bad Sunday from what I could tell.
I think Malik Hooker down in the really good safety in Indianapolis tore an Achilles. Oh, yeah. Solomon Thomas and the 49ers seem like Raheem Mostert sprained an MCL. Solomon Thomas and Jimmy Garoppolo hurt their knees.
Yeah. San Francisco's just, wow. I thought they would really bounce back. I thought they'd be one of those Super Bowl teams that bounce, Super Bowl losers that would break that trend, but they're heading south fast, which is probably good news for the Packers.
Yeah, that's a short week mid-season. But so you mentioned Adams' injury. We opened with that at the top. Let's circle back. So he wasn't the only one. Corey Linsley did not finish the game. He was left with a hand injury, which meant Lucas Patrick shifted to center. He started at right guard. John Runyon Jr. finished at right guard for the second straight game. And then Tyler Irvin, who, again, had another one of those underrated offensive days, 48-something yards total offense, suffered a concussion, or at least was evaluated for one. So Josh Jackson ended up taking the last punt return. So those are things to watch this week. And, along the offensive line, Billy Turner active, didn't play. Rick Wagner started at right tackle like we thought he might. So what do you make there, Tom, of – we got to give those big guys some love. I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row now where that offensive line has had to shuffle.
Oh, they did a really nice job today. Their run blocking was outstanding, and their pass blocking was solid too. And I got to say, right now their best move is to move Billy Turner back to guard. Rick Wagner's playing his butt off. He proved himself against Minnesota, and then he had a, from what I can tell, a really good game today. So their best move is probably to get Turner back at guard and Wagner at right tackle. Lucas Patrick had some rough moments, and who knows, he may wind up having to play center with Linsley out. I don't know how serious that is. A hand injury, it makes you wonder. I got to hope that's not like a broken hand or of his snapping or whatever, his right hand. But I don't know. I think Billy Turner's got to move to guard if Rick Wagner's going to keep playing like that.
At this point, Tom, when Matt LaFleur, I always kind of roll my eyes when coaches talk about the best five, because I never really believe that's true for a lot of reasons. But I'll give him credit, him and Adam Stenovich. I mean, I didn't think Elton Jenkins was going to start week one at right tackle, and he did. So you're right. Either unless Turner isn't ready to go physically, maybe that is the option. And maybe they wouldn't hesitate to put him there. I mean, they're run blocking really well.
I think he's a more natural guard than he is a tackle. But, that's another decision they'll have to make this week.
And also, the Tyler Irvin concussion, first of all, I'll bring it up because you can't assume with that injury that he will be ready to go Sunday in New Orleans. Every individual is different. And the reason I bring that up specifically, Tom, is on Saturday, Equanimeous St. Brown went on injured reserve with a knee injury. Yeah. Who knows when he suffered it? He was not on the injury report going into Minneapolis, and then he showed up there on Wednesday. So
what did he have in camp? Was that a knee?
They didn't have to say.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so it
makes me think that he's been battling something for a while.
It could be.
And they just decided to shut him down.
Which, you know, that's the second year in a row. So Irvin has kind of been the de facto fifth receiver.
Yeah.
You know, so they got Darius Shepherd, Robert Foster, the deep threat, the speed guy that they picked up from Buffalo at the end of cuts. And then the Canadian import, Reggie Begelton. So yeah. I am curious to see. Lane Taylor's still on the active roster. So yeah. it feels like some roster moves are coming this week, right, Tom?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it'd be interesting is if they bring back the Jamal Williams-Aaron Jones combination and use Aaron Jones a little bit as a wide receiver, since he's starting to show that he can catch the ball pretty well. He could, if Tyler Irvin doesn't play, he could do a little bit of that.
For sure. And then A.J. Dillon looked painful in the fourth quarter for that Lions defense.
Yeah. He had a couple of nice runs.
He did. I think that Matt LaFleur would have loved to have seen him getting, what did he finish with? 5 carries, 17 yards. He had a long of 12. So he almost doubled the snaps. I thought that might happen this week, but
yeah, I thought he was going to get a lot more when they got ahead and they were replacing everybody.
But who knows? Maybe after Devontae Adams came up a catch short of the record, you know, they had somebody down there letting them know Aaron Jones had to get a few more here or there. Before we wrap this up, and you know, we'll be back Thursday to preview the Saints matchup. You know, Tom, two games, no fans. The team stayed in the locker room for the national anthem both weeks. You know, on Sunday, there were some COVID discussions. Al Riveron had tested positive. The Snyders, the owner of the Washington football team, had to quarantine. They were in high-risk exposure. There were a couple players with illnesses. So, I mean, this is week two. Just your thoughts of like the opening gambit here of Packers football. I mean, that's a lot I just ran through in 50 seconds, but it's like, I feel that's what it's been about. And yet here they are sitting kind of real pretty on the field.
Yeah. The COVID thing has really surprised me. I got to give the NFL credit. They've fended it off at least through training camp and the first 2 weeks of the season. Got a long way to go, but they've managed and the players have been invested in it. So, yeah, I think 2 weeks into the season, the Packers couldn't ask for much more. Health in general and a 2-0 record.
It is a good start, especially with those division opponents. Now they're going to hit the road for a little bit here. Of course.
Are they really hitting the road? I mean, you know, in the real sense, it's like, what's a road game? What's a home game now?
You know, right? Well, I haven't read up the latest in New Orleans, Tom, but I believe their plan was to have some fans in New Orleans.
Is that right?
The first game, the Packers would be the first ones. Obviously, fans were in Tampa. I don't think Brett Favre was the only one allowed in for that game. So Tampa's going to have some fans at the very least here in the near future. You know, that they should have for whatever that means. Right. Yeah. But of course we will tell you what that means as we get to it, which is why you want to be a subscriber to jsonline.com/deals. Head over to packersnews.com. If you're one of our many international listeners, our alien listeners, and you just want Packers news, just go to packersnews.com. That's all you can get. Download the app then, because then you can get it. Turn on notifications. You get all the news throughout the week, all the good stuff from Tom, Pete Doherty, Olivia Reiner, Ryan Wood, myself, and then everything else that comes along with covering football in 2020 with all this stuff going on. So we appreciate your support and your listening, and we will be back with you on Thursday. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you then.